Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
It starts with me, or started with me at midnight, all the way to 5 a.m., and it continues all day long. Your Bears coverage, top-notch coverage here on 670 Score. It just gets better. Mully and Haw start at 5:30. Of course, Dustin Rhodes kicks things off with the pregame show at 5. But Mully and Haw, they got two really good guests today. Three, actually, but two that I'm extremely excited about. Olin Krutz at 7. I love hearing what Olin has to say. I feel like his perspective on the Bears is not only one of a fan, but a trusted one as a former member of the fraternity of the NFL. And he'll be on at 7. Then DJ Moore, beautiful touchdown. I mean, you heard Caleb say it. When you see a linebacker on him, that's the matchup you want. It resulted in a touchdown. It's a great throw. Even when you're watching it live, you're like, how did he did he put a curve on that? Did he bend it like Beckham when he threw it?
As many airmailed throws as he had, that one was a freaking dime.
But DJ Moore will be on the show with Mully and Haw at 8 o'clock today, which is great. Then Spiegel and Holmes, they got my third favorite guy, Mark Grody. Jalen Johnson. Mark Grody will be on their show 4 o'clock, but Jalen Johnson is going to be jumping on at 5. So just what a day here on 670 Score. Make sure you guys are tuned in. And then, of course, the debut, Bernstein and Harris kicks off at 10 o'clock today, which is going to be amazing. Two class acts. It's just going to be smart radio. It's going to be fun radio. Dan and Marshall will continue reaction for the Bears game, and they'll be joined by Anthony Herron at 11. And then Dan Wiederer at noon. It's going to be great stuff all day today here on 670. All right. Taking your phone calls, 312-644-6767. Talking about this Bears game, Bears defeat the Rams 24-18. And I think with this game today, a lot of people feel comfortable after this victory. Very comfortable. As though this is what was supposed to have happened all season long. Bears defense playing at a high level. The offense putting up plus 20 week in and week out. That's what you want as a Bears fan, ultimately. Special teams playing well. Torrey Taylor feeling as though he's worthy of a fourth round pick. And then your coaching staff continuing to get better week in and week out, which is ultimately what you want from not only Shane Waldron, but from Coach Flus as well. And you heard him in the postgame mention, we treat these wins like we treat these losses. It's not as though you won the game and therefore there's nothing you can work on. You still have to find the moments and the areas for improvement, and the Bears have been just that. But it was a balanced attack. You felt comfortable, and you said, this is what should happen. But it was balanced. DeAndre Swift did his thing. Maybe you would have liked 200 from Caleb, but you felt confident in the game, zero turnovers. Where are all my Caleb Williams fumbled the ball so much in college, people? I thought he'd be leading the league in fumbles by this time. But my question is this. What should that offensive identity look like for this Chicago Bears? Should the identity be one that shifts the attention towards the run game with Swift now having proven to some people that he is capable? Or is it about Caleb Williams' growth? Is it about getting him to be a guy that can carry this team, to work the ball down the field in that two-minute drill to get you that touchdown or that elusive field goal in order to take the lead in those situations? What do you think this Bears offense should look like? Then there's other questions that I have. I was talking about DeAndre Swift earlier. So many people had things to say about him. DeAndre Swift might be the most dynamic running back since Matt Forte. Oh, you want to say David Montgomery? We've heard that one. But DeAndre Swift is dynamic. Let's not forget, you kicked David Montgomery out of Chicago because you wanted a more dynamic Khalil Herbert, because you thought he averaged 5.5 yards per carry. DeAndre Swift was running. Felt good. Felt good to hear him. Let's hear from DeAndre Swift just a little bit and on his monstrous game today with the Chicago Bears.
I feel like it was a better job today. Common running pass. Some things we need to clean up, but definitely a step in the right direction.
How much of the halftime
adjustment for you guys to come out? Just get going. I feel like we get two first downs offensively. We keep the motion like that and extend drives. I feel like we did that a little bit in the second half. We know what defense is going to come out and do every game, so we got to hold up our end. You got a successful running game, it opens up everything else. I feel like we did that today.
DeAndre, you like having the ball in your hands. What was the feeling like that they counted on you both through the passing game and the running game today?
Whatever I need to do to help this team succeed, that's what I'm here for. That's what I think about every single day. Every time I step on the field, it's my cleats up. God allowed me to do so. So that's my mentality every single day.
Was there any frustration?
Yeah, but I'm going to just go put my head down and go to work. That's all I know.
You've been such a pro this whole time. It's going to be gratifying to have this kind of game. But personally, you know, so you get the win.
Yeah, win first and foremost. I'm just going to start.
Before you broke free on the touchdown, what did you think it was kind of when you saw it?
I seen somebody on the ground, and then I kind of lift my leg up, and it was, after that, it was just run, after that. Yeah.
To be used as a weapon in the pass game as much as you were, I think your first pair cleared 9 years to have 70 receiving and 70 rushing.
Yeah.
You know, when you got here, you talked about wanting to be valuable in both regards. Do you think you showed that?
A little bit. Like I said, it's stuff I can clean up. I feel like I'm just going to start. I'm glad we got the win. First and foremost, fans did a great job. They showed up today. So.
What does that do for the room, just to be coming off a win for the first half of the couple weeks?
It's great. Winning is always, it's hard to do in this league. So when you get a win, no matter how it comes, I'd be grateful for that.
It's DeAndre Swift talking to the media following the victory, and he had a hell of a game. 16 rushes, 93 yards. Had the long run of 36 that he mentioned there where he just saw someone on the ground. I just saw somebody in the ground and jumped over him. That's what everybody does there. 7 catches, 72 yards on 7 targets. 7 catches on 7 targets. I mean, you're talking about some really good statistics, but I'm sure even DeAndre Swift would say, I don't want to lead the team in receptions. I like catching the ball out of the backfield. I like it being an option. But I don't want to lead the team in receptions. And I'm sure I would hope. Even Shane Waldron would say something like that. Caleb Williams as well. But that's what was given to them in some games. And that's what I think DeAndre Swift was trying to point out. It's hard to win in the league. So you have to find different scripts for different games. And in this particular instance, it was a heavy dose of DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, like he said, he'll do whatever it takes to make the team win. And in this case, he carried a lot of the weight.
A lot of the load, man.
Yep.
And it felt good to see that. Your thoughts on DeAndre Swift, Caleb Williams, maybe the pre-snap penalties that are getting a little bit cumbersome for you. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. Text lines are open. I mean, people like the fact that the Bears have, you know, two strong running backs with Roschon Johnson. That's what we're seeing there coming in on the text. That one from 919. This one from 213 says the Bears offense should be unrecognizable from what we are accustomed to viewing, which is what we're hoping for, that the Bears ultimately get there, get to that place. I think they want to redefine what it means for what an offense looks like here in Chicago. To me, that's there, and it's there for the taking. Caleb Williams is impressive. I think we watch enough football, right? If you're a true sports fan, you watch enough football where you can kind of, with an eye test, place a quarterback on the bell curve of quarterbacks. You see what the bell curve looks like and you say, okay, Caleb Williams, I watched one game. I watched 4 games now. I know where you're at. And it's certainly not at the tail end of that curve. He's right in the... And you take, when you take into consideration his age, when you take into, I mean, come on. I'm going to play this post game for you in a second. And one thing that he reminds everyone, not just the media that's there, but the people that are watching at home and you that are going to be listening shortly. He reminds the people that he finally feels as though he's in a rhythm
because there was such a gap between when he played football from November of last year to training camp. That was the longest break in a very long time for Caleb Williams, who obviously was playing high school and college football, and you're constantly picking the seasons back up, back to back. But now with the draft and the NFL, it gets pushed, and he really felt as though he wasn't in rhythm. Take a listen to Caleb Williams, pay attention to that part, and see if there's anything else you can take away from his post-game press conference.
I think us just, one, when we have turnovers from the defensive side, that we go score, find a way to get points. I think another one was just us being on the same page, us understanding the flow, you know, that we're in. If we're in a flow, you know, let us just stay in that flow, get going. Whether it's the run game, whether it's the pass game, today, you know, we did kind of both pretty evenly, which is, you know, obviously great and what we want to do every week. But when it's not like that, you know, stay in the flow. If we get drives going with the pass game, you know, sprinkling a few runs, and we get the, you know, the game going with a few runs, sprinkling a pass, and then, you know, keep running the ball. So I think that was the main point of emphasis, you know, throughout the week. And obviously us just having open communication is most important, because, you know, like I said before, us having communication, you know, myself being better with communicating, you know, whether it's game day, throughout the week, or whatever case may be, that I had to be better. And I think, you know, today and throughout the week as a collective, I think we were all better.
You talk about staying in the flow. In the middle of the game there, y'all kind of went no huddle. What do you like about that operation? Is it some things down for you? Is it less thinking? What do you like about when you guys get in that no huddle?
Yeah, I think when you get no huddle, it doesn't allow the defense to do what they want to do. I think that's the biggest thing with no huddle. You know, if they have a, whether it's a personnel or a certain front, you know, like here today, they'll, you know, this team that we play versus the Rams, they have so many different personnels with their fronts and things like that. So when they get into different things, we want to make sure that we can, you know, do our best to exploit it. And so, you know, they'll have fronts sometimes where they bring in six bigs, D linemen and things like that, is what we call it. So, you know, when they get into moments like that, being able to, open the field up, go with no huddle, you know, get them all tired, and then, you know, spread the ball around. And then when they take them out, you know, run the ball.
On the touchdown to DJ, what was your vantage point on that sequence
there? Singled
up the linebacker.
Yeah, so it was, you know, I saw the safety running over. It was a big confusion on the defensive side, but there was a safety over top of Gerald on the left side. Rome took inside release. You know, the backer, I think it was, over Gerald, covered him pretty well. And then I knew that, you know, either they were going to double DJ with that safety running over, or they were going to leave a backer on DJ. And so, you know, when you leave a backer on DJ, that's the matchup that you want and that you wish for throughout games. And so, you know, that's how it happened. I saw it either, like I said, they were going to double DJ, and I was going to throw the route and dispute it out to the route over there on the right side, returning back in, or I was going to hit DJ in the back of the end zone, one-on-one with a backer.
Your numbers really reflect better under pressure and against the blitz. Do you feel more comfortable in what you were seeing out there today?
Yeah, I think overall, I think I'm getting more comfortable. You know, I've said this recently that I was about 2 or 3 months have been a year out of football, which is crazy to think about. Since my last game, you know, was November 18th before the season. I think just getting more in the flow of football, the rhythm throughout the season, the rhythm of the week, just getting more comfortable and being more consistent with myself throughout the week, I think is kind of what I'm feeling. You know, us just building, us communicating, like I said before, building on the things, whether it's good or bad, I think we're doing that well.
Early in the fourth quarter, the 2nd and 10 pass to Komet, what led up to pulling the trigger on that for you?
Yeah, so we had a quick play action fake right there. The backer was kind of flat-footed, and it's nice to go against Tremaine every day because you know that, you know, there's not many backers that are going to be 6'6". In the middle of the field and as talented as he is. So, you know, understanding that, the backer stayed flat-footed, you know, just put it to where Cole could get it, throw it over the backer. There was a big void right there reading the backer, and the safety's being wide reading that. And, you know, Cole made an unbelievable catch.
Caleb,
Caleb, but with regard to Shane, he faced a lot of criticism after last week. What do you think he did either this week or today that really made the biggest impact on the offense getting on track a little bit?
I think it's just us being the same page, and I think that started from the communication throughout the week. Like I said, talking about the flow of the game, and you know, when we get in a rhythm, you know, let it go. You know, things like that. Like today, Swift, I think we ran the ball a couple of times back to back before his I think it was a 40-yard run. So things like that, and then, you know, us just all being on the same page, communicating on the sideline, being better at that. I think making those adjustments, understanding and talking and communicating throughout the game, even if it's, you know, drives where you feel like, you know, like our first drive, we felt like we should have gotten that third down. It didn't happen. You know, coming to the, you know, sideline, a little frustrated. Take your time. Everybody come together, collect, you know, collect all these thoughts and things like that, come together and then communicate from there and, you know, get ready to go back out and win the game.
Caleb, you guys were starting offensive lineman early in the game, and then your offense took off. Was there some kind of galvanizing moment on the sideline or in the huddle that kind of got you guys going, or was it just a circle of wagons moment?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's always tough to lose offensive lineman, especially, you know, Tevin. He's an unbelievable player and things like that, and, you know, I love when that dude's up there blocking for you. Yeah, I think it was just us getting into the flow, us feeling good, us understanding all the hard work that we put throughout the week, the detail work that we put throughout the week, the leadership, you know, the leaders leading, things like that throughout the week, understanding, you know, how big it is to, you know, come out, you know, with a win this week, and get that, you know, momentum going again. And so, you know, I think it's a testament to us as, you know, as a team, our coaches, our players, and our leaders to be able to, you know, when a guy like Tevin goes down, to, you know, to keep going, you know, it sucks, like I said, but to be able to keep going and get the offense going, it's a testament to, I think, our personality as a team, and us overall. Awesome. The Bears.
Go Bears. Love it. Caleb Williams talking to the media right there after the victory. Bears take down the Rams 24-18. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you guys till 5 a.m. live and local, man. For all my overnighters, for all my third shifters, for all my night owls, for the people that can't get enough of the Bears, here for you, man. So I want to hear what you have to say. What did you think about Caleb Williams at the podium? I've had a lot of conversations with people about his ceiling and how, well, what they have said is that the ceiling is not just that, where ceiling in theory, right, is something that you cannot go past. It is there. But they're saying his ceiling is ever changing. It's constantly fluctuating like the stock market. And so I'm wondering where you're thinking it's at right now. When you think about how good he can be, if today changes anything for you. 312-644-6767. You can text in. But I'm looking to chat with a couple of people. Let's go to my guy Don on the West Side. Don, good to talk to you again, man.
Hey, man, thank you, man. Nice to hear from you again. Good morning.
Of course.
Yeah, so I just want to take, you know, like I said, I made it less about, you know, even though we won the game, you know, how we were playing, I see there's a lot of progression need to be made. So with that being said, I started looking at the season from a you know, development of Caleb standpoint from game one to game four. I see major – well, I'm not going to say major development, but I see development because – you know, he's not breaking the pocket. You know, he's standing in there under fire trying to deliver the ball. And then, you know, you see him trusting his checkdowns a lot more. You know, he's understanding that the talent that he has underneath is just as good as the talent that he has on the outside at the receiver position. So I believe that he's learning to trust other skill positions, which is going to break the defense down. They can't run those shells. They can't run those, you know, keep their safeties back high and all that. They, you know, defense is going to have to start accounting for, you know, that talent coming out the backfield and those tight ends. And that's going to give your quarterback confidence. You know, that's going to give him a safety valve. So now he don't have to wait, you know, for his receivers to get open all the time. You know, if they're not there, defense is taking it away. So, you know, I appreciate also that, you know, Shane Walter came out running the ball in power formations. You know, I still don't like the shotgun, you know, run the ball thing. I don't think that our line is, you know, sufficient enough for that. You know, I like them putting their hands in the ground and just, you know, powering off the ball. So, yeah, I mean, this was a good one. We still got to keep it, you know, in perspective and understand that, okay, these are the Los Angeles Rams defense. But they played a good quarterback and, you know, they played a resilient coaching staff. And kudos to, you know, Matt Eberflus for finally, you know, looking efficient himself. So, yeah, it was a good win in perspective. Good development from Caleb. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to next week.
Yeah, Caleb Williams, you know, showing poise beyond his years, right? 17 to 23, buck 57, had the touchdown, managed the game efficiently, avoided costly mistakes while, you know, still delivering accurate passes to his playmakers. You know, when you're looking at the connection with DJ Moore on the 9-yard touchdown, that was particularly impressive. It came on a crucial third down play. Let's not forget that. And then Williams' ability to execute in high-pressure situations just fuels the optimism about his future as the Bears franchise quarterback. And you mentioned it. There are things there that we can look to when you're talking about the development of Caleb Williams. And even his stats, Don, I mean, his quarterback rating, game one, 55. Game 2, 51. Game 3, 80. Yesterday, 106 passer rating. So we're seeing it in real time even show up in the stats, but we also feel like we're seeing it in the field, right? I felt like the second half of the Colts game. Did you feel that way, Don? Second half of the Colts game, even though they lost, I was like, okay, is this the offense that the Bears, that, is this what I'm supposed to be watching? Because this looked good in the second half. Did you feel that same way?
I like in the second half of the Colts game, I'm not going to even start with you, man. I was upset about that, about the Colts game. But then that's when I made the conscious decision to say, okay, well, it was actually the game before the Texans game. But I was a little irritated with that game because of the game plan. But if you look at it from a Caleb Williams standpoint, him being aggressive, him still trying to push the ball down the field, forgetting about the interceptions and stuff like that, and, you know, the sack fumble and, you know, and being poised, I guess from that standpoint, yeah, you know, you say, well, okay, well, yeah, it looks good. But once again, it still was the Indianapolis Colts defense that was giving us so much stress. So, I mean, just putting everything in context and perspective, like, you know, you got to give it an average grade. You know, you can't, like you say, you know, go head over heels for it because it still wasn't, you know, an awesome performance, even though that's the same team that just beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. So yeah. I'm just handling everything with a grain of salt right now.
Don, you talk about the game against the Steelers, but we also have to factor in one of the variables is teams' record going into respective weeks, right? Where the Colts were 0-2 getting ready to play the Bears. They had been the laughing stock of the league when it comes to their running defense. So they had so much more to prove, right? And then they come in and they try to handle business that way. So it's interesting in certain moments, you know, how you're facing a team. The Rams, had they lost to the Niners last week, right? Maybe they would have came in at 0-3 trying to play a different game, maybe pressed a little bit more in certain situations where maybe they felt, hey, we won last week against the Niners. We're surely going to go into Chicago and beat a team that's been inefficient on offense.
Can I cut in and just say
one
last thing?
Well, we're here. We're having a conversation.
What does that matter to a dog? You feel me? Like, I don't care that you 0-2 and you feel some type of way about it. I'm a dog, you know? So that's the thing.
But are the Bears there yet? You know, but are the Bears a dog yet? And that's the part. That's what I'm trying to say. We're not there yet.
Hold on, though. But see, how many years have we been waiting to become dogs? That's what I'm saying. I was having this conversation. I've been a Bear fan since I was 7. I'm 38. Okay, so I've been waiting to see dogs out there. Now, we've had, you know, this team has wasted so many good defenses. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like now if you want to be great, you have to start looking at this from a scale of dogs. You know, you can't just say, well, we did okay and accept the moral victories. And, you know, that's cool. You know, and I'm not going to be no wet blanket or nothing like that. Okay, fine. That's why I say, you know, you can't look at it from a win-loss standpoint, because you look at it from a win-loss standpoint, we're not dogs. But if you look at it like, okay, we're raising pups right now, then okay, cool. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, we have dogs. Offensive side of the ball, we have dogs. Now, as a team, we got to be dogs. Yeah. You know, so that's what I
feel like.
You know,
I feel like Sunday's game did that for the Bears team, like the psyche, right? You heard Mercedes Lewis talking in the post game when he got the game ball. He's like, hey, we did it. Now we got to go do it again. Now we got, you know, we put in the work. You saw what happened. Let's continue to do it. And I think that was a game where that level of believability starts to creep in, Don, where you say to yourself, damn, hold up. This defense is good. Hold up. We can put points on the board. Wait, if we put everything together, are we a good football team? Like, you've said it yourself. You've been waiting for it. And I think sometimes the Bears players themselves feel that same way, where it's like, are we a good team? And they're so topsy-turvy. One game is so dynamic. The next game, you wet the bed. And now you're here in this place where you beat the Rams, especially after you felt like you could have beat the Texans on a last-minute drive that you faltered on. You were close enough with the Colts that you felt you could have been there. And now you're like, hold up. Then you put the game together, right, after holding yourselves accountable in meetings with the coaches, with the players, and you come out, handle business, and now – even though you're looking on a micro level, you say, okay, this is what a dog looks like for the Chicago Bears in the present.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Like I say, I'm not going to take a dub is a dub no matter how you get it. I'm not going to be too cynical about it. The thing is, though, I just want the consistency. I'll put it like that so I can sound less like a meatball. I want us to be more consistent. Yeah. If we – like, dogs are consistent. Like, okay, I don't want to – you're supposed to go out and beat Carolina. Carolina shouldn't be a struggle.
Yes.
And, you know, I feel as though Jacksonville, like, if you're a dog, you know, you're supposed to go beat Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. You know, like, now when you get to Washington, even though, you know, we said preseason, like, you know, Washington is not going to be a walk in the park.
No.
To me, that's going to be the first test because because Washington has shown consistency. Now, they haven't played anybody either. Okay, now I'm waiting for them. I think that – I have to look at their schedule, but I believe maybe our defense probably would be the first, you know, challenging. Actually, every defense is an NFL defense, first and foremost. They're all professionals. But I feel as though we have a top defense in the league. So I feel as though after that bye week, then we're going to be a challenge for Washington, and Washington's going to be a challenge for us because there's a high-powered offense, and their defense is playing okay. You know, because, you know, our offense, like I said, is looking a little flimsy. That's what I'm saying. Like, I could if I knew that our offensive line was okay, if I knew that, you know, Caleb is in the correct system and the right plays are being called for him. I want to confidently say that we're going to go in there and mud stomp Washington because we're supposed to.
Yes.
But I can't say that. I can't right. say that because we're not consistent.
But you want to say that. You want to be able to say
that. I
want
to say that.
Yeah, I
want to be able to say that.
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you, Don. I'm on the same thing, man. I appreciate the call because I genuinely agree with you that is ultimately what I want this team to be, and I cannot wait for them to consistently play at the level that they did yesterday in order to pile up victories because it's a great point. I don't want to go play Carolina or Washington or Jacksonville and constantly be fearful of a loss. I want to go in confident knowing that my team should win barring something happening, which is what happens when you end up on the other side like some squads like Denver and the Jets, right? All right, we got much more to talk about, and I can't wait to talk about it with you. Phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. Make sure you get those calls in. We're talking Bears and the big victory, 24-18 over the Rams right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Rams do not have to run this play. Exactly what Stafford wanted. He wanted to jump at the end of the quarter.
As soon as he came across the line of scrimmage, Stafford go, oh yeah.
It was Chris Williams who jumped in.
Defense number 91. 5-yard penalty. First down.
And Chris Williams immediately comes off.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
It is a victory Monday. I put that in there too, in the tagline. Bears defeat the Los Angeles Rams 24-18. What you just heard was one of 10 penalties from the Chicago Bears, resulting in 84 yards. That one hurt a little bit more than the that one hurt. That was one of the worst ones there at the tail end of the first quarter. Hopefully, Caleb Williams can get to that point where his offense is so feared and respected that his cadence can get so good and draw teams off sides. That is a doozy right there. But it is, in fact, a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. It's going to be a great day here on 670 The Score. Not only are you getting live and local overnights, which is awesome, but at 5 o'clock, of course, we got our pre-show, Dustin Rhodes. Then, of course, Mullion Hall, come on. Olin Krutz at 7. DJ Moore at 8. That's going to be awesome. That's such a, like, if you're going to wake, just set the alarm clock for those two And then later today, Jalen Johnson, 5 o'clock with Spiegelman Holmes. Two of the stars of the big game yesterday. So they will be on, and littered throughout the day will be a myriad of other professionals that will be jumping on to hang out with the guys and to hang out with our new dynamic duo, Bernstein and Harris. So if you tune in today at 10, it's going to be the debut of their show, Bernstein and Harris on The Score. They're going to continue the reaction to the Bears game. They'll be joined by Anthony Herron at 11 and then Dan Wiederer at noon. Dan Wiederer does this cool thing on Twitter where he makes people give three-word, I guess, summations of the game. You can get lost in there for quite a while. But I'd like to hear yours as well, what you have to say about this Bears game. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. Would love to hear what you have to say. And I did enjoy the conversation with Don before the break because it was more so putting realistic expectations on the Bears and what your expectations are for the remainder of the season and how it should go, right? And it really is interesting to see this Bears team and where they're at right now, where they've come from. I mean, and it's not simply just the running game, right, where DeAndre Swift finally put his head down, as they were saying during the broadcast, and just got between some guys and find some space. But the offense continued to look better, I guess. Caleb Williams not turning the ball over, finding DJ Moore for a nice strike there in the end zone for the touchdown. Bears getting points off the turnover, and not just points, but putting it in the end zone. Just, you know, Montez Sweat continuing to be a force. You saw a couple big hits by Austin Booker, even though, you know, they're after first downs or whatever, but big hits nonetheless. Javon Dexter getting himself a sack. I mean, there are things that you can point to when you look at this team and you say, and this game specifically, if you get just a little bit more of that in the years to come, not necessarily just this year and consistently, because you don't want to put too much expectations on this Bears team, but they're there. And again, it's a reminder. This is my theme for the day, to give grace to the coaches. All right, Sean McVay still puts a tight end and a running back on Montez Sweat. Sometimes it happens.
Montez was disrespected by that.
I love that. You should isolate that and we play that. Montez Sweat was candid about that. Yeah. Candid. So how'd you feel? I felt disrespected. I watched tape around the league. I see how they treat everyone else. I never get that. And then I finally got it and I thought to myself, I got to take advantage of this. And he did on the one play. It's amazing. Good stuff. You see Tremaine Edmonds in certain places. Daryl Taylor getting pressure on the last play of the game, attacking the guard position. Beautiful spin move. Jaquan Brisker. You know, it was a good game. Don't get too comfortable. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. Text lines are open. I feel like when I go through my game, you know, my play-by-play, and then I try to highlight a couple of ones that really stand out to me. And sometimes they're comical. It's just things that I feel like make me upset and maybe wouldn't make the average person upset. So, second possession of the Bears. First play is a... Now, mind you, on the first possession of the game, no play actions, right? Just a couple of runs, felt that way, nothing outside of that. Second possession, first play is a play action, but it's a play action wide receiver screen. Hear what I just said there. Play action, by design, is meant to draw the defense in. So Shane Waldron drew the play up to draw the defense in and then threw the wide receiver screen. Horrible play call. That's where the blindside block was called and initially declined and then accepted to put the Bears in second and long, or first and 25 or something like that. That was a bad one. That one got me upset. Second play, Caleb had to audible out of the initial play call to a draw to DeAndre Swift, which resulted in a 6-yard gain. I like that one. Finally, a draw play. I've been waiting for one of those, or a couple of those. And then the third play, empty backfield. It's just like, it just threw me off. It was just, in the first half, there were certainly moments that were comical to me. But Rams get the ball back after that. Another one that stood out was the bogus penalty on Jaquan Brisker. That happened in that particular possession. It looked like he was running out of bounds, but Jaquan was already diving. He said it himself in the post game and talked about it, said he didn't think it was going to be the case. And then the Jaquan Brisker missed interception happened right after that. Now, my daughter's birthday party was yesterday, so I was in the middle of entertaining people during this Bears game. I was at this place called Next Level in Norridge. But like 20 dudes were surrounding one little iPhone that had YouTube TV. And I saw him step out of bounds, and I said, no, he stepped out of bounds. And they're like, there's no flags. Nobody's saying anything. Look, they're going to commercial. And I was like, I said, he stepped out of bounds. They're going to call that back. I got to go take care of my daughter. But there are moments like that, moments we can discuss. 312-644-6767. I don't want you to get complacent. I want you to get comfortable with this victory, right? I want you to still say that you want the Bears to continue to perform and get better because they can be better than what they were yesterday. Let's go out to the phone lines. We got Lawrence in Evergreen Park. Lawrence, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
How you doing, Gabe?
Doing good, man. Good to talk to you. So what kind of football you want from the Chicago Bears team?
I mean, what I want looks kind of similar to what I saw today, where the defense is the defense. They're dogs. Like, they're about it. Like, it's for real. But, hey, offense, give them a chance to breathe. You know, one point I took from last year with Eberflus' defensive coordinator, he's talking to the defense and his back was turned to the offense. So it's like now he can actually pay attention to the offense and you make things work in an order, in sequence. So my biggest takeaway is I was telling my best friend, Daniel, what up, is watch Nate Davis. If Nate Davis doesn't lose, this play will be great. And I think that's what DJ Moore was kind of alluding to when he was saying, no one wants to be that person that's called out. It was kind of like, yo, Nate Davis, if you don't mess up, we'll be fine. So I can live with that. I want it to be better. I want it to grow. I won't, like I said, I won't be a complacent fan, but I can wear my Bears hat tomorrow with pride.
Let me ask you this, Lawrence, because a lot of people have had complaints about the coaching staff, and you mentioned the players and what you can deal with. But what did you think about the coaching, specifically Shane Waldron and Coach Eberflus?
Well, I'll start with Eberflus simply because he didn't blow as many timeouts. He got one. He blew one. All right, fine. If he acknowledges it, it's one less than last week. I'll take it. With Waldron, though, I feel like he saw a something. I don't know what it is. You know, I'm going to do all 22 and watch it and, you know, every cut up I can. But something was different. But whatever it was, just do what works. Like, 4 yards is better than one. You know, running out of shotgun did not work. So it looks like our running back is like a yard further back than everyone else's. And it was fine. DeAndre Swift made it work. You know, a lot of people were out on him last week. I'm glad he did what he needed to do to make that a validated, a justified free agent pickup.
Let me ask you this, because a lot of people have been hard on DeAndre Swift, and I've been asking the question to callers today. Is he the most dynamic running back since Matt Forte?
No.
Who is it?
The most dynamic superlative, I would still say, is Khalil Herbert, but somewhere is going to come out why he's in that doghouse.
Now, he's not in the doghouse. No, there's no doghouse. Yeah. It's very clear why he's not playing. He's too similar to DeAndre Swift. There's no change of pace back, and that's why they're playing Roshon Johnson. Obviously, he was injured the first game and acted second, but they played him because he is the consummate change of pace. It's odd because it's the reverse, right, where you're used to the bruising back being the guy kicking things off and then the scat back being the change of pace. But in this case, it's the reverse. And then Khalil Herbert, he has difficulty blocking and pass protection, right? So it's tough to get him out there in those situations, especially because Roshon Johnson has been catching the ball well out of the backfield and converting on third downs when catching the ball short of the line. So there's no There's no controversy. I think it's just, it's unfortunately really clear. And Lawrence, you heard the rumblings before the season that the Bears, you know, the rumors circulating that the Bears were even trying to move on from Khalil Herbert, because I think they understood this part of it. But do you think the team right now, right, after what you've seen yesterday, you said you like what you saw, Lawrence, do you see that, do you feel as though the Bears are set to be a team that sneaks into the playoffs? Whereas maybe you didn't feel that way last week against the Colts.
No. It's not finite. You know, we've been fortunately healthy. You know, I'll say that Tevin Jenkins went down today. Look, that showed us something about this team. You know, it was addition by subtraction. His absence, it's unfortunate. I hope that rib injury isn't too much, you know, because he is one of two of our best five on that offensive line. But it's a matter of, that was adjustment. That's what we kind of demanded. Maybe different, you know, avenues, but we demanded adjustment from Shane Waldron, and I felt like he showed us adjustment. Maybe it was Chris Morgan. Who knows? But there was adjustment where there was a okay advantage, or okay success, or okay, not a loss, whatever the case may be. 363 last week and less than 200 this week, and this looks better. I credit that to adjustment.
Yeah, got to get the victory, Lawrence. Thanks for the call. I appreciate you chiming in.
Hey, thank you.
Of course, 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. You got the opportunity to talk about your Bears right now. What'd you think about the game? And you know, there are thoughts there, right? I mean, when you're looking at the Bears, I asked a question at the tail end to Lawrence. You might not have felt like this after the first couple of weeks. You know, when I did my show after the Texans game, I told people, you knew they were going to be 1-1 after two games. You knew this. Why are you so bent out of shape? How did you think they were going to lose that game? And so then I asked you at the end of four, what did you think their record was going to be? When you say 3-1, I mean, you could, but it's still the NFL. If you say 3-1, you're probably the guy that has them winning 11 or 12. But 2-2, headed in the right direction, seems good, but are the Bears looking like a playoff contender after today's win? In order to be that, you have to, what I like to call, be the Carlos Boozer of things. It's my favorite analogy. I love this damn thing. Where you are the best of the worst, and you're the worst of the best. It is, in fact, the Carlos Boozer of things. Tyler, are you old enough to know who Carlos Boozer is?
I know who Carlos Boozer is.
Little hesitation there. All right, so you know who he is, but you may not be getting the analogy there. And it's Carlos Boozer was a guy that could give you 20-10.
Oh, I remember him.
Yeah,
very much.
I'm talking to the people that don't. Talking to the people that don't here.
Gotcha.
20-10 guy. But he was the worst 20-10. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't a superstar.
I'm picturing his step back jumper in my head like it was yesterday.
I'm picturing him yelling after a free throw. That's what I'm picturing. So the worst of the 2010 guys. But then of the guys that would occasionally get 2010, right? He would get it more than them. So he was the best of the worst guys. So your Carlos Boozer moment. But in order to be that, you got to be, if in the NFL or if the Bears want to be that, you got to beat the Rams. It's like Don from the West Side was saying. You got to beat the Carolina Panthers. Like, it has to definitively be understood that you're going to go in there and beat them. And when you do, it is no surprise. Whereas today, it felt good, but you were playing a depleted Los Angeles Rams team. Let's not forget that, with two of their biggest weapons not there. They're throwing it to Tutu, Atwell, Whitaker, Johnson. I mean, you know, Tough teams there. You're going up against the aging Matthew Stafford, who's already won a Super Bowl.
I will say that the second half definitely felt like progression with the offense. But, Gabe, I was honestly pretty frustrated with the way they ran their offense in the first half compared to the Rams. The Bears had way more at their disposal talent-wise and health-wise, but the Rams, I feel like, were calling much smarter plays, and they were using their guys much better the way the Bears were. But again, to the second half, the adjustments, like I believe it was Our last caller, I'm of course blanking out of his name, was talking about
Lawrence.
Yeah, it shows we forgot Tevin Jenkins left the game because they adjusted. They played well. They ran the ball, and it's like, wait, whoa, Tevin Jenkins is a starter.
Yeah.
And he left the game.
Yeah, left the game, had to move things around. And Caleb Williams talked about that in his post game and how there was no galvanizing moment. That's how the question was phrased for the offensive line. But everyone understood that there was a job to be done.
Next man up.
Next man up, and things needed to happen, and the Bears certainly did that. Do we have time to play Flues?
I would say, yeah, why not?
All right, I like this, because I do want to hear from Flues. Listen, it's one thing for us to talk about what we saw in the game, what we feel needs to be adjusted, but if you miss the head coach talking about what he saw, his vantage point, what he was impressed with, then you really get an opportunity to have a better understanding of the game. So here's Coach Flus following the Bears' victory yesterday.
Good afternoon. Good to see everybody. So I just got out of the locker room with the players, and I just told them how proud I was of them in terms of them working, partnering with the coaches to improve. I thought we took a big step in that direction this week, improving on offense, defense, and special teams. And you could really see that during the course of the game, the complimentary football of us, taking the ball away on defense and then scoring that 7 points down there. That was really huge. And then at the end of the game, you could really feel that all three phases really to seal the deal, on the game. So, you get those stops on defense. The offense really does a great job with the clock at the very end. And then we get that interception. Great punt and pin. The punter was great today. Torrey was awesome. Switching the field several times, using him as a weapon. And he was excellent, too. And excited for a couple guys. Swift, had a really nice game today. So I was excited for him. He's been working his tail off. He always stays positive. But, again, that's not just him, right? That's the offensive line. Working the double teams, making those holes in front of them. And then the perimeter blocking I thought was really good. Much improved. From the first couple weeks, defense was really good in the red area. They did move the ball some on us, and the guys rose up to the occasion. And then we honored the football. The football was where we were two, got two. We ended up not getting the other one. He called out of bounds, but we ended up getting two, and then not giving it away. So when you win that battle, plus two in the turnover margin, you got a good chance for success. Really proud of the guys. I guess a really good team victory in there. And at the end, I gave Mercedes Lewis a game ball because that's his 272nd game in the NFL. He's 40 years old and been playing tight end a long time. And so that's a pretty big moment for anybody. But he was a little bit emotional in there, and it was good. It's good to see those guys. But I love the guys in the room. They're passionate. They love each other. And they're a tight group. And as a coach and coaches, the best moment for you is when you have a victory and you get to see those guys smiling in the locker room. So that was good to see. With that, I'll take questions.
Matt, what has been the difference with the second half of this team? It seems like for the second week in a row, you all have found a rhythm offensively as opposed to the first half. What has been that driving factor in that happening?
Yeah, I just think it's growth. We have to grow into that. It's like I said, this is we only had a few games together, so I think we're improving every single week. We're addressing the issues that need to be addressed. Early on it was, getting in and out of the huddle and, cadence and making sure we're doing good there. And then it was, distributing the ball to different skill sets. We did that. Now it's running the football. We did a better job with that. So we're just addressing the issues when you're building chemistry in the first time together. With a new and a young quarterback, I just think that's just part of growing.
Matt, after all the issues you had last week against the Colts, players and coaches, what are you most satisfied about the way you personally and just this team responded?
Yeah, that's what they're going to do. They're going to respond. Every single week you have issues. Because we won the game, you still have things you need to work on. We're going to look at the tape, and we're going to celebrate this win for 24 hours, and we're going to look at the tape, and we're going to pinpoint things that we need to improve on, and there will be things that we need to improve on all three phases, and we do that every single week, and that's how you grow and get better as a football team.
Matt, the run game was probably the best that you've seen this year. Is there anything specific that contributed to that?
Just hard work. It comes down to fundamentals, right? alignment assignment, doing your thing the right way, and basic football. You know, and you got to move people. And the offensive line did a really good job with that. Today, I thought the runners did a really good job with their demeanor in terms of their pad level and knocking the pile forward. I thought I saw that a lot today, which is good. You get those extra bonus yards. But again, it just comes down to hard work and being determined and being detailed.
How impressed were you with Torrey Taylor's punting abilities today?
Yeah, I see it every day. I see it every week. He's got a couple different sand wedges, I think. So he's pretty good.
Was Doug Kramer having any chance he was going to catch a pass today?
Hey, you never know. You never know. I know he's one of our Chicagoland guys, but yeah, I was excited for him. I really was. It was good to see him in there playing fullback. He did a good job reporting when he came in there, so it was good. It was good, and you know, having those downhill plays is always good.
Well, what led to the decision to kind of simplify things with the goal line package, bringing Doug in? I know there's a lot of conversation about the goal line situation last week. This week, you guys didn't play no games, went jumbo, brought him in. What went into that decision?
You know, just looking at our players, you know, trying to use the whole roster and making sure that we're, you know, always thinking forward, you know, and being productive. And really, my hat's off to the offensive staff, you know, utilizing the people and getting the scheme to do that.
Matt, the Brisker sack coming out of the timeout, anything particular you saw there that made that such a good call? Or
Yeah, I mean, field position played a factor into it for sure because they were there on the plus side. You know, so we wanted to do a good job of knocking them back. We did, but we didn't do a good enough job of keeping them there because they did kick the field goal. But Jaquan was outstanding today. You know, he had that near interception, you know, on the one third down, and then obviously that big sack, and then the pick at the end. So he really is a passionate guy, and that's why he's one of our first draft picks. You know, that we, you know, it was Kyler and him, and those two guys embody who we want to be as Chicago Bears: passion, tough. You know, come to work every day, and those guys are workers.
Coach, what are you seeing from that second group of D-linemen? You guys bring them in and waves, taking them all four out, bringing them the next four in. What do you like about that second group that's got Austin and Chris Williams?
Yeah, you have to do that the way we play because we are full tilt the whole time. You know, so we ask our D-linemen to hustle, you know, from the snap all the way to the tackle and from sideline to sideline. So you have to have guys that can rotate like that. And I thought the D-line guys, Travis, did a nice job of rotating those guys in there because it's all about keeping the guys fresh. You know, we have, you know, Tez and, you know, different guys in there that you want to have fresh, you know, Dex at the end. You want to have those guys fresh so they can really rush the passer. If you get into a situation like that where you need them in a two-minute drill, they got to be fresh and ready to go. But the rotation helps them do that early in the game.
And Shane Waldron was under fire this week after the Colts game. How do you like, or what did you think about the way he kind of handled that adversity and responded to it?
Yeah, this is the NFL, right? It's a one-week league. You win a couple games and you're all that in a bag of chips, and then you lose a couple and you're the other thing. So it's water off a duck's back. You know, you got to make sure that you're focusing on your job, focusing on what you do, and making corrections. You know, either way, you can't get too high, you can't get too low. You got to be steady. And that's what you got to do as an NFL coach and an NFL player.
It seems like Darrell Taylor was able to make an impact on the interception. He got the QB hit. Mm-hmm. How has he been able to help this locker room, especially having less time than the rest of the players?
His energy. I mean, the passion he brings, that's why we got him. You know, he got him because he fits right in. When he walked into the room, he was he fit. You know, the way he practices, the way he plays. So he brings it. You know, he just has to learn our system. And he's doing that and doing a really good job with that. And a credit to him. You know, you guys saw the injury report. He was ill for 2 days, you know, and then came in on Friday. And again, Travis Smith and Bing, our defensive line guys, did a heck of a job of getting him ready to play, to execute in the game in a short period of time. And so that's a really good job by the coaches.
Matt, how was Caleb better today than last week?
Yeah, he was better because I thought he looked down the field for the shots, and when they weren't there, he took the checkdowns, and we got a lot of yards on those. So I think that was better for him. Again, he's going to keep improving every single week, but I do think that for him, the operation, the ball, honoring the football and taking care of the football is the number one job of the quarterback, and he did an excellent job of that today. I know he got sacked three times. Okay, we got to clean those things up. Albeit protection or route discipline or whatever that might be when we look at the tape, but protecting the football is important. We were plus two today, and the the score show.
Coach Eberflus addressing the media after the victory. Bears win 24-18. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Ready to take your phone calls. Where are my early crew at? I know. My third shifters are there. We've been talking to you guys. I want to hear from you as well. But where are my first shifters? The one that are waking up. Getting to the gym. What you got to say about this Bears victory? 312-644-6767. I want to hear your thoughts. And then when we come back on the other side, Bears struggling on third down. And I'm going to let you know why they are the ranked 24th in the NFL on third down yardage. What is that yardage marker for the Chicago Bears? That's a big one. We'll see where they can improve on it, but I want to hear from you again. 312-644-6767. Your phone calls next right here on 670 The Score.